Good morning and welcome to Zion. I want to welcome those who are watching on Zoom this morning and for those that are here at our building. It's a beautiful day. It's great to be together outside. This is a great way to see each other after a long year of feeling disconnected. So I'm glad you're here. As we worship together, we're looking forward to a message from Frank today. Just a few announcements. Thank you to those who have helped with collecting items for our MCC kits. Today is the last day to bring those here to the church, and we'll be putting those together. So thank you to those who have already contributed to that. Also, next Sunday, June 6th, will be our first Sunday with our new pastor, Steve Bomar. And we are planning to meet inside the building. Hopefully, we're going to watch how things progress this next week, and we hope to be inside the building worshiping together for Steve's first Sunday. So for our call to worship this morning, if you have a bulletin, you can follow along and participate with me. There will also be words on the screen as we come together with words of faith in a congregational response. So please join me. Our God, we gather to worship you, the one who creates all things. We gather to worship you, the one who brings salvation through Jesus Christ. We gather to worship you, the one who sustains us by the Spirit. We bring to you our offerings of thanks and praise for all your gifts. We worship you, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. So we're going to sing together hymn number 53. The words are in your bulletin. God of the earth, the sea, the sky.
God of the earth, the sea, the sky, maker of all above, below, creation lives and moves in thee. Thy present life through all doth flow. We give thee thanks, thy name we sing. Almighty God, our praise we bring. Thy love is in the sunshine's glow. Thy life is in the quickening air. When lightnings flash and storm winds blow, there is thy power, thy law is there. We give thee thanks, thy name we sing. Almighty God, our praise we bring. But higher far and far more clear, thee in our spirit we behold, thine image and thyself are there, the indwelling God proclaimed of old. We give thee thanks, thy name we sing. Almighty God, our praise we bring.
Thank you. And now for the children's story. If children want to come up closer to the screen, Gina's going to be sharing a children's story with us.
Finding Joy, a children's story. Abby, do you know where Joy is? Outside? Our Joy? You see her outside? Okay. She's not hiding behind the bucket. No. Joy isn't over there either. No. Is she in this tree? I don't see her there. Joy isn't in the window. She likes to sit there. How about under the bed? No, I don't see her. Oh, Abby found Chuckles. But where is our Joy? I don't know. No Joy here in the closet. Or here in this spot. Oh, where is our Joy? Here she is. She's hiding in her tunnel. Look at that. There's our Joy kitty right there. Hiding in the tunnel. Now she can get some nice pets and snuggle on my lap. That's very nice when you're lost and then you're found, right? To get some nice snuggling. Yes. She likes to have itches, scratches here right under her ears, rubs on her face and stuff. And she even likes to have chin scratches. Do you like to have scratches under your chin? Maybe that's just a kitty thing. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Do you have Joy at your house? Joy doesn't just mean a name, right? Joy can also be a feeling. Yeah, your Joy might not be a kitty at all. It might just be a feeling when you're really happy in your heart. Yeah, when your heart is really happy. And we can ask God to send us Joy so that our hearts are always happy. And so we can share it with others. Let's pray and do that now. Dear God, thank you for being with us and for sharing Joy with us. Sharing Joy so we can keep it in our hearts. And share it with others every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, that was good story. Have a good week and be sure to hang on to your Joy. Okay? Bye-bye. See you next time.
Jana, you're muted and we can't hear you.
I'm inviting some of readers to come up to share scripture with us this morning before our message. I think it's good to see other people up front and in the camera, so no special order in reading.
Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
It was working. We got it.
Oh, okay.
Get close to the mic.
Okay. Good morning. I'm reading from John 15:10-14. If you obey my teaching, you will live in my love. In this way, I have obeyed my Father's teaching and live in his love. I have told you these things so my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. This is what I tell you to do. Love each other just as I have loved you. No one can have greater love than to give his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I tell you.
James 1:22, obey the word of God. If you hear only and do not act, you are only fooling yourself.
Psalm 1:1-2. Happy are the persons
who do not walk in the way sinful people tell them to, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit with those who laugh at the truth. But this person finds joy in the law of the Lord and thinks about God's law day and night.
So there was one word in each of those passages that we're going to focus on this morning. Did anybody catch the one word in each scripture reading? One word. Okay, Frank, I'll let you tell them. Obey. Obey. Yeah.
This is one Sunday where I wish I could move around. Hear me okay? So it's Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people are out, which is good, having a good time. But this morning, rather than giving anything that's even close to a sermon, all I'm going to do is tell a Bible story. That's it. No editorial, no comment. It's a story that kind of speaks for itself. And the reason I'm doing it this way is because this is what they used to do. You know, before the Bible was written down and put in this book, that's what they did. People sat around fires and told stories. They'd sit around dinner after dinner, tell these stories to each other. And this is how the Word of God was developed, just through story. And somehow that's kind of either evolved or devolved, whichever you think, into preaching. And a lot of times preaching is taking a little tiny section of scripture, a little tiny piece of a story, and somebody who knows things saying, this is what it means, right? And this morning in this story, I'm really tempted to say what I think the story means because it really speaks to me, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I did give the title to this sermon, What Do You Do When God Asks You to Do Something Wrong? What do you do when God asks you to do something wrong? And I was telling my mom, I always practice my sermons on her. It's tedious for her, I'm sure. But she said, don't you mean what do you do when God asks you to do something you think is wrong? But I didn't change the title. And I think by the end of the story, you'll see why. And the way I picked this particular story this morning, there's nothing spiritual about this. But it's just something I used to do a lot as a kid and as a young adult. I would take my Bible and I'd close my eyes and I'd start thumbing through. And I'd thumb through and then I'd point to a page. And that's what I did to come up with this sermon this morning. I just opened it up and pointed to a page. I kind of cheated. I didn't want to preach on the Old Testament. I kind of waited more towards the end. And this is the verse it landed on. I'm standing right on top of that. I'm going to do this. Is that okay? I landed on Acts chapter 10, verse 11. Something like a large sheep came down from heaven with all sorts of beasts and crawly critters and reptiles and birds. And a voice from heaven said, Peter, take, kill, and eat. And I thought right away, what am I going to do with that? So I read the rest of the story and I read into chapter 11 and I read chapter 9. And so all I'm going to do this morning in my own words, having read this story now for the last 2 months, every day, kind of share what this story is. And that's it. No editorial comment. So my prayer this morning is that the Holy Spirit will speak into your own life and into your own mind what's going on here. And it begins with this word, meanwhile, during this time, a man by the name of Saul was still breathing out murderous threats on the Christians, the people of the way. And he had gone to Jerusalem and he'd gotten papers to go to Damascus and to take some guard with him, some temple guard, and round up all the people of the way in Damascus, men, women, all of them. And so he's on his way to Damascus, and you guys are familiar with the story. All of a sudden, there's this bright light that comes out of heaven, and it knocks him to the ground. And he hears a voice from heaven say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? And Saul, laying there on the ground, speaks up to the Lord and said, Lord, Lord, who is this? And he says, it's Jesus who you are persecuting. Now get up and go to Damascus, and there I will tell you what to do. And Paul got up, and we're all familiar with the story. He's blinded. And his friends there, the temple guard, they're all stunned. And so they take him and they lead him into Damascus. They take him to this guy's place on Straight Street, and there he stays, and he doesn't eat, drink, or do anything but pray for that 3 days. Meanwhile, there's a guy living there in Damascus named Ananias, and he's a Christian. He's a faithful brother. They would call him people the way I'm going to call them Christians from now on. It's easier for me. And God comes to him and he says, I want you to go over to the house on Straight Street. And there you'll find a man named Saul. And I want you to lay your hands on him and pray for him. And Ananias says, no, I'm not going there. Don't you know who this is, Lord? This is Saul. He's here to round us up. He's here to round us up. And the Lord says to him, go. This is my chosen instrument for bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. It's going to be important a little bit later. Bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. So Ananias goes, he lays hands on Paul. Paul is healed, something like scales fall off.
Frank, we just lost you. Something happened to that mic.
I bumped it. How's that?
That's better.
All right. Okay, I'll stop swinging my arms. So he goes out into Damascus and begins to preach. And the people who are the brothers, they don't want to have anything to do with them. They think this is a ruse. And the Jews don't like it because he's preaching Jesus. And pretty soon the Jews decide it's time to put this guy to death. And so some of the brothers take him and lower him in a basket down over the wall of Damascus. And there he escapes back to Tarsus. Okay? So that's the first part of this story. But while all of this is going on, and after Paul is off the scene, by the way, the Christians experience a long time of peace and prosperity and growth. And so during this time, Peter is also traveling. He's going to Joppa. God is sending him to Joppa. And on the way, he stops in a town called Lydda, and there he runs into a man named Aeneas, and he's crippled. And Paul takes mercy on him, reaches down, lays hands on him, and Aeneas is healed and gets up. And this story spreads all over Lydda. And so people are thronging to come to Peter to hear his message, and many are baptized and healed and brought to the power of Christ through the Holy Spirit. A wonderful time, a wonderful ministry. But while he's there in Lydda, something happens in Joppa. This lady named Tabitha dies, and she's this great saint in Joppa that made clothes and provided for the poor. And so everybody's very upset, so they send the disciples over to Joppa, right? Or over to Lydda, and they find Peter there and say, come back with us. You need to mourn with us. We've lost this wonderful saint, Tabitha. And so they go back, and he goes with them into Joppa. And they're all in her house, and they're all weeping and wailing and mourning about this loss. And Peter sends them all out of the room, says, go. And he kneels down at her bed and he prays for her. And she comes back to life. I mean, who would believe a story like that, right? It's nice that it's in the Bible, because if I was making this up right now, you'd think I was off my nut. She comes back to life. And this spreads all over Joppa. And again, everybody's coming to Peter to experience the power of God in his life and to be filled with the Spirit, and they become people of the way. So Peter's riding high, right? Peter's got to be feeling pretty good about everything that's going on. This evil guy Saul is out of the way, and they're free to learn and worship God. But while all of this is going on, something's going on in a place called Caesarea. And there's a man there by the name of Cornelius, and he's a centurion. He's in the command of a huge army of people who are keeping that place under control. But he's also a man that's searching for God. And as he searched for God in his prayers, suddenly a vision hits Cornelius and says, go to Joppa and find this man called Simon Peter. He'll be sitting at Simon the Tanner's house, and bring him back, and he will tell you what to do. Now, Cornelius is the only one in this whole story that ever obeys the first time, because he said, sure, I'll do it. Next day, he sends his number one soldier, two of his number one servants, and a party to go into Joppa to see if they can find Peter. Well, meanwhile, something else is going on. Paul's been preaching, Paul's been baptizing, and now he goes in the afternoon, and he goes back to Simon the Tanner's house. He's hungry, the meal isn't ready yet, and he goes up onto the roof, and there he begins to pray, and he falls into a trance. And kids, this is where the sermon gets good, because we get to talk about eating raw flesh here. This big old blanket comes down from heaven, and there's all these animals on it, four-footed beasts, reptiles, and birds. And a voice from heaven says to Peter, Peter, take, kill, and eat. He didn't mention cooking. Just grab yourself a lizard, bite its head off, suck it down. It's disgusting, right? No, I mean, think about it. It's not just disgusting, but for Peter, it is literally everything that he knows about the law that's wrong. There's two big things in being clean as a Jew. One is what you eat, how you prepare it, how you wash your hands, how you wash your dishes, how you trim your toenails. It's ridiculous, but it was very real. You know what the second one was? Even bigger. You want to be unclean? Associate with a Gentile. You know, talk to them. That would be bad. Do business with them? Even worse. Go to their house and eat and drink and talk. Completely evil. And totally, by the way, against the law of God. If you read the Old Testament, you'll see why they felt that way. It was against God's law for them. So that's important. So that all happens not once, not twice, but three times. And every time God says to Peter, take, kill, and eat, Peter's response is, no, never, Lord. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean in my life. So the sheet goes up. No lizard sucking. So done. And Peter is sitting there contemplating, what does all of this mean? What's this about? What am I supposed to learn from this? Well, meanwhile, these people arrive from Damascus, and they're at the gate. And they say, there's a man named Simon Peter here, and Simon hears him from the roof. Peter hears him from the roof, and he runs down, and he says, who are you? And they say, we're here, and they explain the vision of Cornelius to Peter. And now Peter runs off the rails a little bit. You know what he does? These four or five Gentiles, he invites them into the house. Bad choice, right? Invites them into the house. Invites them for lunch. Invites them for dinner. Invites them to stay and sleep in the house. Gentiles in a Jewish home? Eek, right? It's getting yucky. It's getting messy. The next day, they travel back to Caesarea. And when they get there, Cornelius is at the front gate because he knows that Peter is not really allowed to come in by Peter's standards. And he falls down on the face down and he worships at Peter's feet and respects him. And Peter says to him something you wouldn't expect. Hey, get up, Cornelius. We're men. Aren't we just alike? Now that doesn't mean much to us, do it? Does it? Really? But think about that. A Roman soldier who is Italian, nonetheless, and a Jew. You're a man just like me, get up. And so he gets up and he explains the vision that he has. And so he invites Peter into his home. Now Peter's taken another big leap, going into a Gentile home. And when he opens the door, it's even worse. And Cornelius has gathered his whole family, all of his soldiers, all of their families, all of his servants, and it's just a lot of Gentiles. And Peter opens up this way, and listen to this. This is where it gets pretty good. He said, you all know it's against God's law for me to be here and to associate with you. But God has shown me something. God has shown me, listen, this is where I wanted to preach, but I'll just let it go. God has shown me something, that I am not to call any person impure or unclean. Really? I'm a person of faith, and I'm not supposed to call any person impure or unclean, and I'm going to eat with them and hang out with them. And then Peter says, what did you call me here for, Cornelius? And Cornelius tells him, I called you here because God wants you to tell us everything it is that we need to do. And Peter begins to tell him about Jesus and how he was filled with the Holy Spirit and how he ministered in Jerusalem and how he became a hated figure and how he was crucified and how he was resurrected from the dead. And even while he's preaching, something amazing happens. The Holy Spirit descends on these people. They speak in tongues. They're filled with the Spirit. Gentiles. Yeah. Right? And Peter says, who can stop me from baptizing these people into the way? And they're baptized, and this group of Gentiles begins to spread the gospel there in Damascus. What a wonderful story. You guys remember Paul Harvey? Here's the rest of the story. Stories like this travel quick. And this story got back to Jerusalem, to the brothers. And remember, when I say the brothers, I'm talking about James, John, the disciples, the real Christian followers, the top-notch dudes. They were thrilled. They were thrilled, right? Wrong. Wrong. They were consternated. They were angry. They greeted Peter with this greeting, what have you done associating with Gentiles? Peter, it's unclean. And I won't do it the way it does in chapter 11 because you've always heard the story, but he explains at depth, at length, the whole story to these brothers so they would understand that God does not show favoritism to anyone, that everyone is welcome at the table of Christ. And they got it, right? It says they got it, but if you read the rest of Acts and into Ephesians and Galatians, you'll see they kind of got it. They kind of got it. Do we get it? I'm not going to preach. No. But I do want to say this. God has shown me that I am not to call any person impure or unclean. God has shown me that I am not to call any person impure or unclean. What do we do when God asks us to do something wrong, to do something hard, to do something icky, unpleasant, bite off the head of a lizard, really? I'm going to leave you with this thought. I was talking to one of my brothers, not brothers, but a brother in Christ that's preaching this morning too, and we were swapping sermon notes, and he was giving me a little bit of a hard time about what I was going to preach about. That's why I didn't preach. But he did say this, and it stuck with me. It is God's responsibility to command us. It is our responsibility to obey. It is God's responsibility to judge. It is our responsibility to love.
I'm trying. I've used the entire battery.
Really? Thank you, Frank, for that message. We're going to sing together. When we walk with the Lord, you have words in your bulletin, and our chorus is very familiar, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no
but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love, and the walk on the altar we lay for the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Let's move into our prayer time. God, you are Lord of all, eternal, creator of years, of centuries, Lord of whatever is beyond time, you are maker and master of all. So we come to you in prayer, in our smallness, in our inconsistencies, that you have called us to worship you in spirit and truth, and you have lifted us up with your loving kindness. This morning, we bring our petitions and prayers to you. And we think of those as we're a part of a holiday weekend, those who have painful memories and losses of loved ones who have died. Lord, we believe that you provide for us and others. As you have said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So we ask that you would bless families of those who have lost loved ones. We ask for your comfort to the walking wounded who are still with us, and that you would bring comfort and peace to their families. And as we watch the news, we're aware of so many things happening in our world. As COVID-19 is ravaging India, we pray for healing for those who are suffering. We ask for strength, Lord, for those who are frontline medical workers, especially in Mennonite hospitals. We pray for the people of Palestine and Israel as they seek a way forward following escalations of violence. And we're aware of gun violence in our country, and we have seen that increase along with the loss of lives and added pain to our already wounded nation. Lord, fill us with your love. Work in our hearts to be your shalom presence and peace to others in our community, to to those in the workplace, to our friends and family. And we pray a blessing on Steve Bomar as he joins us this next week as our lead pastor. Lord, be with him today as he says goodbye to his congregation, that there will be just a time of good memories and your hospitality and love around him and his family. And we ask that as we anticipate him worshiping with us next week, that he would know our hospitality and love extended to him and his family. Thank you that you are the sower of seeds in our hearts as we meditate and pray on scripture, on what it means to follow and be obedient to you, God. Keep us on the narrow path. We ask these things in your name. Amen. I want to send you with a benediction blessing, so I'm going to ask those here to stand for our benediction. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has shown us such love and in his grace has given us unfailing encouragement and sure hope, encourage and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Go in peace.